I Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us on this week's episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. As always, I'm Dean Unglert, joined in studio by Jared Habon.
Hello.
Vanessa on Skype in Canada. But she's got a mic today, so it's going to sound pretty nice.
Vanessa,
you
sound incredible right now.
Very special guest today.
I can't really hear you guys as well, but I'll just go with the flow.
Very special guest today, as I was saying. And we've had her on the podcast before, always call in. But today, for the first time in studio, Cherie Healy, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello.
Life coach, possibilitarian. She's going to help us answer some of these questions that we asked on Facebook, or that you guys asked on Facebook. And that's basically what today's episode is going to be about, is just answering the questions that you guys need answered. Jared posted something on the Facebook page last week, and we got a lot of questions to go through. And so we're going to do our best to answer them and hopefully help you guys out with your dating issues, shed a little bit more light on our dating issues, and just go from there.
Before we get started, Cherie, what exactly is a possibilitarian, if I'm saying that properly?
Someone who stops at nothing to help you reach your ultimate potential. I mean, I think that anything is possible, and it drives me nuts to see people holding back and not getting what they want in life. So I help people get what they want in relationships and at work and enjoy the hell out of their lives. That's the point. I say you need to take your pleasure more seriously, because it really is the strategy that has people promoted at work and do the best work that they're here to do and show up as their highest self in relationships.
Now, when you say stop at nothing, how literal do you mean?
That's such a good question.
Say I've got a crush on a girl, but she's dating someone else, and we need to get rid of that guy.
We turn on your superpowers.
Whoa, is that what's happening in your romantic life right now, Dean?
I'm just speaking for the general listener out there. If Cherie would literally stop at nothing to help us achieve our goals in life, where is that bar set, you know?
It takes some time, depending on how ready you are. But through a series of calls and working one-on-one, I remove the obstacles that stand in the way. It's not meant to be for you to be with that person. If that person isn't in your highest best interest, then we get to a point sometimes where you decide it's not for you.
Oh, I thought you were going to say where force is required.
No.
Physical force is required.
But usually the blocks are inside us. So that's where we start. If somebody isn't attracted to you or isn't really feeling it, then there are ways that we can open up you so that the possibilities are there.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, Cherie, I'm on your website right now, and on your homepage, it says, I help people get what they want so they can change the world. What do you want? And I'm like, before coming onto the episode today, I was actually thinking, what is it that I want exactly? Because I think putting out the intention of things that you want, you'll be able to receive it. But if you're a little bit all over the place, then I think it's a lot harder to get exactly what it is that you think you need. So how can you figure out, in exactly the question that you have, what do you want? How can you help someone figure that part out?
Yeah, a lot of people are just so busy in life that they're really disconnected from what it is that they want and crave. You know, they're kind of stuck in the spin cycle of just getting up and going to work and going to sleep and doing it all over again. And so we're really disconnected from our desires. And so the greatest way to approach it is to sort of break it down. You look at, what do I want in my love life? What do I want for my body? What do I want for my career? You know, and we really go through a process of dreaming. If you had the ultimate vision in those areas of your life, then you'd start to feel like life was balanced and your energy was flowing in a way that life becomes really good. And I don't think people believe that that's possible, or they don't know how they might make that happen. And so they stay stuck.
Yeah. And I think it's oftentimes we get stuck in, what is it do I want? What do I want in my love life? And at least for me, it's been hard to figure that part out, because I think for the longest time I wanted the traditional lifestyle that my family had, and then my life has completely changed in the last 2 years. So I'm trying to rediscover the things that I actually do need in my life versus want. And I feel like once one part of the puzzle piece in your life is off, it's kind of hard to refocus on your career and your body and your mind and all that.
Right.
So how can, like, someone like me, who constantly lives in my head, I do enjoy thinking a lot. I overthink sometimes too much, but how can I get out of my head and just live in the moment and be present and let it be?
Well, taking the time to write down these wants, to actually have some vision experience, to say this is what I want, and really have it on paper and have somebody like me holding you accountable to going for that, helps a ton. Mm-hmm. Because then you know, mm-hmm. you're on track. You've declared it and you're doing something about it. You know, but that, you're right. The getting stuck in our minds is what really is our biggest work. Like, back to Dean's comment, and that's usually what repels others or makes the relationships that we want impossible, because we're questioning ourselves so much. We're overthinking everything. And so I would say probably the first step is to write down, if I had it all my way, if money, mm-hmm. and time and all the obstacles that we normally put out there, all the excuses, were not an issue, what would I love in my love life? And give, mm-hmm. yourself the space to actually think out of the box. And it sounds cliche, but dream a little bit bigger, you know, because, like, we see a lot of people prioritizing safety over the big possibilities in life, you know, settling, looking at what other people around you have as a relationship and saying, that's got to be my bar.
Especially people who think Instagram is real, and see couples' best moments on social media. I think we all kind of tend to get trapped in that idea that, oh wow, a perfect relationship does exist. I think it's perfect for certain people, but someone else's perfect may not be your idea of perfect.
Sheree, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think, because I hear all the time, you're in your own head, you think too much. Do you think that's kind of a newfound thing within society today? Do you think people 60, 70 years ago, even further back, were thinking as much as we do today?
I don't think they had the luxury to. I think we were, mm-hmm. much more about survival back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just makes me, I find it interesting because it makes me think about the connection that has with people getting married at a later age, divorce rate being higher than it ever has been. People are single more so now than they ever have been, and I'm curious if there's a link between that and the connection between people being in their heads too much in today's society compared to what it was however many decades ago. But I do think people are in their own head because, like you said, we have the luxury to be in our own head now. I feel like with technology and the way we look at love and life and our dreams and destinies and goals, we just look at it in a different way than we ever have.
Yeah, we are coming out of the information age, so we're all overloaded by information, which had us go up, mm-hmm. into our heads a lot. And then I think, too, with abundance and all the social media and everything that we've got out there, we've now asked, and I think we're in an age of awakening. You know, some people say we're in the wisdom age now or the imagination age, and so it's a different time, which means tons of possibilities. And we are asking for a lot more of our relationships than we ever were before. We want a best friend. We want a soulmate. We want someone who's going to help us reach self-actualization. We want the best sex. We want to, you know, live forever. Like, there's just so...
We do want the best sex.
We want it all. You know, so it puts a lot more pressure on it.
Like, well, I actually have a confession. So a couple of weeks ago, I was talking about how I was never on a dating app. I just recently joined a dating app.
Oh, good for you.
What app?
Bumble, obviously, right?
Which one?
Bumble, yes.
Great. We love Bumble.
Actually, no, I do. I mean, listen, I do like the idea of the woman having to start the conversation on Bumble. But no, I'm not on Bumble. I'm on another dating app. And it's so interesting to see the connections you do make on the app and how no one ends up reaching out to each other. It's like our egos are so big, where I'm like, well, I want to get pursued, so I'm not going to reach out to the guy first. And the guy's probably like, well, I have 15 other women I'm talking to, so why would I reach out to her if she's not reaching out to me? And it's just, at the end of the day, for me, it just ends up becoming a waste of my time.
It sounds like you just don't want to put the work in.
No, it's not that I don't want to put the work in. And we've talked about this before. And Dean, be nicer to me on this podcast.
I'm just telling you, it sounds like you're not willing to do the groundwork.
No, it's not a matter about, listen, when I'm in, I'm all in. But I do talk about wanting to be pursued. And I want to be pursued. So if I do like someone's, if we do have a connection on the app or whatever, listen, in person, I have no shame going up to someone and starting a conversation with them.
So what's the difference for you on the app?
I don't know. Well, I guess it's because like I've always been the person that pursues. So I'm just at a stage in my life where I'm happy.
You just said you're always the one that needs to be pursued, though.
No, right now I want to be pursued. Right now I'm throwing it out to the universe where I'm like, I want to be pursued.
Classic millennial. So, she wants everything and she doesn't want to have to work for it.
Vanessa, no! what would it look like if a guy pursued you on the app?
Oh, what would it look like?
Yeah. What did he specifically do?
Giving me, like, I guess the first line would be like a funny joke. And I'd be like, ha, ha, ha.
This is why it's not working for you, Vanessa. What kind of game is that? That's horrible.
It's not a game. No, I mean like haha, like I like guys who have a sense of humor.
Right, but you would just respond with ha ha ha.
So how many ha ha's would you send? Would you send two ha ha's or three ha ha's?
Two ha's is pretty basic.
I feel like ha ha is a little bit sarcastic, but if it's a ha 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 exclamation exclamation, that's like, oh, you're funny.
Oh no!
Right, with a little emoji too, yeah. Thrown in there.
All right, let's get to some questions now.
Well, okay, so Vanessa. Okay, so before we jump into the next questions or the next segment, you guys have probably already heard about this. You probably already have one in your home. If you don't, you need to check it out. It's the Amazon Fire TV, and it brings you all the live and streaming content you love to the biggest screen in your house. You can watch anything you love with access to Netflix, Prime Video, Hulu, and so much more. I am using mine to watch. I just got into A Good Place with Kristen Bell.
Oh, that's a funny show.
Ozark is phenomenal.
Great show.
You can also jump on things like YouTube, Facebook, Reddit.
What's the nutshell thing you were saying?
In a nutshell, on YouTube, if you want to learn a little bit and be entertained, check it out. It's called In a Nutshell by Kurzgesagt. It's 7 to 8 minutes long.
What is that?
It's fantastic. You guys need to check it out. Anyways, watching YouTube is all about you, and when it's on the big screen with Fire TV, it's the ultimate mix of entertainment and relaxation. Some of us go to YouTube to learn, like me, watch makeup tutorials, like Mark, or home improvement do-it-yourselves, like Easton. Some want to be entertained with viral videos or whatever's trending. Some go on deep dives into sports, highlights, glitter, slime, all that kind of stuff.
ASMR. My daughter's been doing some ASMR.
What is ASMR?
It's like a total relaxation thing and like little noises that you think you find so satisfying.
It sounds a lot.
Yes, that's it. Yeah.
I'm probably going to pass on that. Anyways,
slime
videos.
The point
is, she doesn't have to watch them on her computer. She doesn't have to watch them on her phone.
Boom.
She can watch them in the comfort of her living room on the big screen TV, thanks to Amazon Fire TV. And if that wasn't enough, you can even listen to this podcast, Help I Suck at Dating, and music with the iHeartRadio app on Fire TV. It's the perfect gift for the entertainment fan in your life this holiday season. Head to amazon.com/iSuckPodcast. Again, it's amazon.com/iSuckPodcast to order a Fire TV of your very own. They make a great gift for your friends. They make a great gift for your family. They make a great gift for yourself. So we have several TVs in our house. We have the living room TV. I have my bedroom TV. My roommates all have TVs. We all have Amazon Fire TVs. They're fantastic. You can use the remote. You don't even have to type anything. You can just talk directly into the controller and have Alexa.
At this point, Alexa might be your longest relationship.
That's actually true and sad. Anyways, check it out. Amazon Fire TV. Again, holidays are right around the corner. It's an easy gift. It's a great gift. Whoever you get it for is going to absolutely love it. Amazon.com/iSuckPodcast. Get it for your loved ones and be the hit this holiday season.
How has online dating been for you? Has it been good? Other than you're still just waiting for... Have you been on a date yet?
No.
How long have you been on?
2 weeks.
Okay, so that's a decent amount of time.
I'd say give it another 2 weeks and
see
where
we're at. Yeah, I'm kind of fed up of it, though.
Are you talking to people at least? You just haven't met with them, or are you not even having conversations? Are you matching with people?
I'm matching. The conversations are cut short.
Can you send me your online profile? I want to be able to critique it.
I don't think I don't even know how to do that. How would I?
It's like screenshot.
Screenshot
my own profile.
Vanessa, for the listeners out there, Vanessa.
You're going to make fun of me regardless. So like, if I do send it.
Vanessa is so technologically inept. I like always send screen recordings on my phone. She's like, hey, how do I post the link to the podcast on my Instagram story? And I'll literally screen record. I'm like, okay, Vanessa, for the third time, this is what you do. You go to the podcast app, you type in your name, you click on the link, you click share. And then every single time, hey, where's the link to the podcast?
Like, can you send me the link?
Vanessa, I want to ask you one more thing before we let you off the hook. In your bio, your profile on that app, does it say something about how you're super turned on by a guy who's funny?
No. Ooh. I think it's just my age and my Instagram account.
Okay, so you
Listen, I don't know how to use the app that well. That's why.
Well, I think what Sheree is saying is you need to put that out into the universe so you can kind of receive it from other people.
Yeah, give the guys a hint about what it will take to win with you. Because this was a big thing I learned across my dating career and from clients and all the research out there, that we want some vulnerability. We want some openness from a guy, right? You want him to show you interest. That's pursuing what a good guy would do, pursuing. A good man is not going to come in hot. He's not going to push and push and push. That's more of what we'll see from guys who are just trying to take from you or get from you, what we might call a player. So if you want a good man, he's not going to pursue. He's going to honor you and your boundaries. He's going to feel into what you're open to. He's not going to come in hard.
That's great advice.
That is great advice.
Yeah, I think that is pretty good.
It's hard for a lot of us who want a guy to make it easy for us because we want to know that we're liked or that we're that he's interested. And I'll tell you, like, the greatest guys will just come in and they won't play any games. And they'll just tell you, hey, I really like you.
And they'll be patient.
When do I get to see you again? And patient. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which can confuse us because we've been taught that, like, you know, it's easier for us. It soothes our fears and our worries if a guy comes in super clear
and
like, you know, eager and pushes and like kind of makes it hard for us to say no.
Yeah. If a guy like comes on too strong, I'm like, no. Like, you need to take some baby
And you wonder
steps.
Why guys struggle in the dating world. It's so you hard. Pursue, it's like, I want to be pursued, but don't come on too hard. But then if I send six ha-has, know that it's that I actually mean it. But if I send two, I'm being sarcastic.
Right. It's so hard.
It's like, what the hell is going on?
That's why this podcast is so important.
Yeah. It is important. But you know what? Vanessa, you're not alone. Dean and I'm sure the same, that when I was single, it was difficult. Like, texting is hard.
It's
like, it's all about tone and how somebody receives it. Because they've even talked about, like, if I'm sending a text message to Dean and I say something that's kind of sarcastic, but I'm in a good mood, so I know it's a joke. But if you're in a piss poor mood and you see what I said, you might just take it in a completely different direction. It's the same thing with dating. So it's really just hard. It's difficult. Vanessa, I don't envy your position. I'm sorry. You're wonderful. You deserve a great guy. And I really hope that somebody soon comes along, whether it be on this dating app or in real life, and just sweeps you off your feet. Dean, you're single. What the hell? Come on now. Just fall in love, please.
I will say, to Sheree's point, of the few dates that I've been going on lately, one of the most common, compliments that I've received is that I am patient with the person. So it's like, to that point, and so Vanessa, I guess you could take a lesson from that as well, as patience is a good thing, I feel like, especially when you're trying to get to know someone over the course of time, because it's not going to happen all at once. It's going to take time. It's like, you've been on the app for 2 weeks, but you know, in 6 months, it might not, you might not start reaping the dividends of it.
Right. I agree with that, but I'm also at a point in my dating life where as soon as I start feeling something is a little bit off, if there's a red flag or whatever, I would be the type of person that would go all in and ignore all of that, and it would end either way. Now I'm like, okay, I'm feeling like something is off. I'm not sure if I'm being 100% myself. I'm a little bit uncomfortable talking about some things. Why is that happening? Take a step back and reevaluate if I want to be dating this person or not. And it's so much more liberating being able to be so self-aware of how you're feeling. And I'm only learning that now, and I'm 31 years old.
Yeah, and you can share that. I think when you're off, I think we'd love to avoid it and pretend it's not there because we all want to feel good. But just to say, like, I don't know what's up there. I am feeling a little off. And put it on the table so you can talk about it.
There you go.
There we go.
All right, so we're going to jump into our next segment, which is questions asked by the Facebook group. But before we do that, I would love to share with you the best gift-giving idea this holiday season.
Dean, I agree. Everybody's looking for the perfect gift this upcoming holiday season. Holidays are right around the corner. Black Friday is literally, 2 weeks away, if that. Guys, I'm telling you, we've been talking about it on the podcast before. Go check out Legacy Box. It's the perfect place to take all your home videos, photos, and tapes. You get them digitalized on a thumb drive, a digital download, or DVD. They'll send you a pre-labeled box, and all you have to do is fill it out with your old family memoirs, memories, and then you send it right back. I personally have a home video VHS that I go home home and watch every holiday season, but I think it'd be really cool to have that digitalized on my computer so I can watch right now while I'm not living at home.
And that's great to give to your parents for a present as well. I'm sure they would love that.
Oh yeah, they have so many old pictures. It's crazy because my mom has all the old photo albums and she just brings those out every holiday, and she has like 4 or 5 of them. But she's on Facebook now all the time because she just got on Facebook. She's a little behind the eight ball. Oh, it's very understandable.
But I think got my mom Instagram.
Oh, she's on Instagram? My mom. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. The day my mom is on Instagram. Oh, boy. Here we go. But it would be really cool. Yeah, exactly. Like Dean said, give that as a gift to your parents so they can digitalize all those old photo albums that they love looking
right.
at.
Right. All those tapes sort of start to degrade after like 10 years, right?
Yeah. Totally. Mm-hmm. So you even get personalized updates so you can rest knowing your old footage is being taken care of safely. Like we talked about, guys, the holidays are just around the corner, and this is the best gift to give. And the good thing is, too, you don't have to go shopping on Black Friday. This is a perfect way to give the perfect gift without the stress of parking lines, crowded malls. Do you guys do Black Friday? Anybody in here
no.
do Black Friday?
No.
Nah.
I thought about it doing online. 1 year. No, a buddy of mine did it 1 year, and he waited in line for 4 hours for a TV. And he only got it for like 40% off. I was like, is that worth it? Is it worth it? But guys, also for Legacy Box, for a limited time offer, they're offering an exclusive discount for you guys, our listeners. You go to legacybox.com/Dean to get 40% off your first order or save up to $200 on the largest Legacy Box kit. Again, that's legacybox.com/Dean, D-E-A-N. You save yourself 40% today. Get started preserving your past, right, Legacy right. Box.
In addition to the Legacy Box, I want to talk about the Grove Collaborative. So Grove is the perfect place to get all your household products for a clean and healthy home. Never run out of toilet paper again. I've had this issue many times. They have everything from Mrs. Meyer's cleaning supplies, tons of essential oils, and Smarty Pit's aluminum-free prebiotic deodorant. And they make sure, this is my favorite thing, they make sure that all of their products are free from animal testing. Life is easier and cheaper when I shop with Grove.co. I get auto-scheduled shipments right to my door, and I can even text a real person to get product recommendations, which is my biggest thing, too, is because I like to keep my house tidy, but I never really know what to buy. So it's nice to have those live recommendations. This is one of my favorite websites right now because I'm really trying to use chemical-free natural products in my house. You guys know, like, I don't use soap. I don't like to use any of that stuff, really. So anytime I can go organic, 100% jump on it right away. But with all my traveling lately, it's hard not to run into the closest market and buy right off the shelf. I live like a block away from a Ralph's, and they don't have maybe the most organic natural selection. But now I have a shipment each month full of clean household products. For a limited time, our listeners who sign up get an amazing free 30-day supply of Seedling, which is Grove's tree-free paper towels, toilet paper, and tissues, a free 60-day VIP membership, and a surprise bonus gift just for you when you sign up and place an order of $20 or more. What an incredible deal that is, you guys. Holy cow.
It really is. I realize how much toilet paper, paper towels, all that adds up when I first moved out. Because you never think about that. Rent, all this mm-hmm. stuff, that adds up. But then I have to buy my own toilet paper.
It's crazy. And what's great about this, like I said, Seedling is Grove's tree-free. So tree-free paper towels, toilet paper, and tissues, which is just incredible, especially when everyone's trying to be environmentally conscious nowadays.
Brilliant.
So check out Grove and our special offer at grove.co/Dean. That's grove.co, not C-O-M, /Dean. You'll get 30-day supply of Seedling, a 60-day VIP membership, and you'll get a special bonus offer when you get $20 or more.
That's a really good deal.
Yeah, it's a great deal.
I feel like I just talked for an hour. So let's dive into some questions on Facebook that we asked our listeners. First and foremost, thank you for submitting some questions, because we always like to incorporate the listener in as many ways as possible on the podcast. And obviously, this is one of the most direct ways we have that we can do that. And so we're just going to dive into some that were posted on the Facebook wall that have been DM'd to us through Instagram. I know Vanessa's been getting some through her Instagram as well.
And if you don't follow us on Instagram, Help I Suck at Dating, and definitely join the Facebook group, Help I Suck at Dating Podcast. It's really cool. There's a lot of people on there that communicate with each other, give each other advice. It really is a community on there. So if you guys are listening to this podcast, definitely check out the Help I Suck at Dating Podcast Facebook group.
Do you think that anyone in the Facebook group has dated each other?
I was thinking if somebody met within the Facebook group, like if we kind of formed a relationship.
Well, I don't know if we would necessarily
would
be
not
us, but like it is kind of cool that
there's a forum that people go to discuss dating. I'm sure there are plenty of them, but it's because I sometimes see comments on the wall that's like, hey, I just moved to San Francisco. I'm trying to date. If anyone's in the area, I'd love to meet up, like that kind of thing. And I'm always kind of like, I don't know. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, good luck. Like that kind of thing. So hopefully it works.
It might be better than one of the apps.
It's true.
You know, there you are with a bunch of singles.
Great taste in podcasts.
Yes. I feel like people that are listening to us, they want to be vulnerable and they want to have a genuine connection with people. So I would love to know if anyone is actually dating off of our Facebook group.
Having said that, obviously go into the podcast Facebook group if you're going to meet up with somebody with the same hesitation and safety you would for an online dating app. Meet in a public place.
There you go. All right, so first question submitted is actually directed towards me. So it's from Laura. Laura says, I wanted to tell Dean off for even considering asking Leslie about South America because even the best intentions of texting or sliding into your ex's DMs almost automatically get misinterpreted. Mm-hmm. I've been the one receiving these messages and have to remind both him and myself why we ended our relationship. Just take Jared's advice and don't bother. So Cherie, your advice on this, because last week I'm traveling to South America at the end of the month, and my ex-girlfriend lived in South America where I'm traveling to for 2 years. And so she's like a travel expert. I know she loves doling out the advice and giving recommendations, that kind of stuff. So I considered the idea of texting her and asking her to give me some recommendations while I'm down there. But do you think it's a bad idea to reopen that line of communication with an ex, even if it's just purely platonic, purely for reasons of seeking advice and asking questions?
How did it end?
Not the smoothest ending in a relationship, but not like horrible. It was sad. We were both sad at the end of the relationship.
It was they weren't going to be best friends after it.
Right. So,
So we broke up in April. Haven't talked since April.
And it'd be convenient for you to get her advice, right? Because she's an expert.
Well, it's a win-win because it would be great to get her advice because she's knowledgeable on the topic, and I know that she appreciates giving out travel recommendations to people because she's a travel blogger and like that's kind of how she gets her livelihood, what she enjoys doing. So it's like she likes to give advice and I would like to receive very specific advice while I'm traveling as well.
Right. If you could reach out to her with that boundary, like I just to give her a gift, right? If she enjoys giving that and you think it would be a kindness towards her. Mm.
Would we really call it giving a gift?
She would
be like, listen, I wanted to give you a gift.
Right,
so.
Right.
I reached out to you.
I agree with that. That sounds bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it's not like she, I just know she likes giving advice on travel. I guess she wouldn't look at it as like, oh my God, I'm so happy to be doing this.
He's respecting me. He honors me. Yeah. I don't know if she would receive it that way.
Yeah.
Do you think that you were reaching out maybe because you wanted to feel better about everything?
Probably.
Good question.
I don't like being disliked.
Yeah.
And like I said, we haven't talked since April. But like, I don't think we dislike each other. I think it's just one of those things where it might be better for us not to have a conversation with each other. So I guess that kind of answers that question. And thanks to Jared's and Vanessa's advice from last week, I did not reach out to her. I have no plan or intention to reach out to her.
Okay.
Because I got some feedback and I realized that was maybe not the best.
Well, I was just going to say, Jared sort of zeroed in on something that I believe there's always a good reason for everything that we do. And so there was a good reason for you reaching out that was kind of underneath just wanting advice about the trip, right? That you kind of want to just make some peace.
Yeah. And I
feel good.
I'm always kind of an advocate for staying friendly after breakups as well. It'd be great if we could have a friendship, but I understand it's a little bit more challenging sometimes.
I want to stop you because you're the one that said that you block your exes off of Instagram.
Yeah, sure. That's a good point.
So what's the correlation between blocking them off of Instagram and then seeking out their attention?
I think I more so block them so I didn't have to worry about seeing them pop up in my feed every once in a while.
But you're still on good terms with them?
I would like to be, whether I am or I'm not currently.
I have a question. So reaching out to an ex like that for those, maybe even if it's only 10% of the reason to try to like almost bury the hatch or, you know, make you feel better about the situation. Do you think it's with good intention? Because I suffer from this as well. I don't want this just to be on Dean. I've done this before as well.
Yeah.
Do you think it's with good intention or do you think it's selfish? Because at the end of the day, there is a part of me that's like, I don't want her to hate me.
Right.
Right.
And is that selfish of me?
I don't know that it's entirely selfish because I think if there's a desire for a friendship, there's I want the peace of knowing that I'm not a bad guy.
But I think what kind of friendship would we possibly have?
Well, that's the better question, right? Is mm-hmm. it going to be in the highest best interest of her and you to be back in contact? Mm. That's a good question.
Well, so she seems to be in a relationship now. So if the exes are in relationships or are clearly no longer interested in dating each other, don't you think that kind of adds a more healthy dynamic to it?
A healthy dynamic to being friends or not talking?
To friends. Like, it's easier to be a friend with an ex if both of the exes have moved on to someone else.
I think it depends
on how the person is. Like, I'm someone that likes to be friends with my exes, but it'll take me a while to get to that place where I can have, where we can be on neutral grounds and it's really platonic between us. Like, you can't ask me to be friends with you after a month of us breaking up. So I think it also depends if how the relationship ended and if that person is the kind of person that's open to friendship after the end of a breakup. I don't think there are any rules, really. I think it's how we're wired.
And there needs to be a conversation usually with the new person.
That's exactly what I was going to say, because when they're in a relationship, you can't just factor in the ex anymore. You have to factor in their new partner, because think about if you were in a relationship with someone and then one of your exes reached out to you, how would your girlfriend feel at the time? Probably pretty uncomfortable, especially if you were like, hey, no, I kind of want to try to recapture a friendship with this person. Right. I think if I was your girlfriend... Mm-hmm.
You'd be like, what are you doing?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've been in a position before where not maybe like a year or two, however long ago, I was at dinner with an ex-girlfriend and I was dating someone new. And I remember talking to my ex-girlfriend at the time and I was like asking for advice on the relationship that I was forming with someone new. And she was like, I'm glad that you're dating someone new because it allows us to have a purely friendly platonic conversation. And it, like, it eliminates any type of physical like urge. You know what I mean? And so, like, I can see, I don't know, I just kind of thought that it might make things a little bit better. But no.
I'd almost lead with that, if you really want to recapture a friendship, not South America.
Not South America.
And, yeah, South America could come after. Because you're
That's what I told you.
Reaching out for a different reason, really. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of underneath the South America
What if
question.
I wanted to travel to Spain? Spain. Is that off limits still?
She studied South America in high school. She remembers reading about Argentina. I just want to bring it up. No, I'm just kidding.
No, that's a good answer. I'm glad. Well, we got to go through some other questions too. So, Vanessa, let me ask you. This is from Linda. We'll ask you first. If each of you could go back in time and give yourself give your younger self one piece of advice, what would it be and why? Mm-hmm. So, Vanessa, if you can go back in time, question. What would you tell yourself and why?
Wait, this question's from Linda?
Linda.
Linda, thank you for asking down. Such a great question. I think... I would go back and tell myself to chill the fuck out, mainly because I think it's, like I said, I was always someone who was a hopeless romantic. I still am. I want to have a family. I want to have kids. And it's so funny. I remember Dean, after we recorded an episode together, we're sitting down together and I'm like, Dean, why do you think I'm still single? And you looked at me like, I think you're too, I'm like, what does that mean? You're like, I think you're too intense. And I think my intentions do come off a little bit strong, just because I know what I want and I don't want to waste my time with people that are trying to figure out what they want in a relationship or in their romantic life. So I think I would tell myself, enjoy being single, enjoy spending time by yourself and being with people you love and creating connections with people. And those connections can turn into something greater and more romantic, but stop putting so much pressure in finding someone to spend the rest of your life with, because it'll happen when it happens. And looking back, I didn't think I'd be having this conversation with myself at 31 years old. At 31, I thought I would be married with kids already, and I'm nowhere close to that, but I'm so happy with where I am in my life right now. And I'm finally at a place where I can say, yep, I'm enjoying being present and I'm enjoying forming those connections with people and getting to know people.
Easton, I want to know, what would you, if you could tell yourself, your younger self, one thing, give yourself advice, what would it be?
Don't worry so much, because everything turns out okay, and you should get up earlier.
These are all pretty lame answers, you guys.
I like the getting up earlier.
There's one, if I were to give my younger self one piece of advice, it's 7 letters long, one word, very simple, Bitcoin.
Yes.
100%. Put all your money in Bitcoin in 2013, sell in 2017. And then happiness comes after that. Very simple stuff, you guys.
Not wake up earlier. Not be more open-minded. Put less pressure on it. Just be rich.
I'd go back, yeah, to probably the year about 2003. And then I would just bring a copy of The Social Network with me and show that to my younger self and be like, just create this and you're fine.
Yeah.
You're fine. Just create something called Facebook. You're good.
Easy.
All right. Well, what's the next question? What do you want to ask?
Let's move on to this question for Jared. Jared, what's your dream career when you head back to Rhode Island?
I'd like to open up my own bar. So Ashley and I have talked about that. We've talked about the potential of moving back east in maybe 5 years, depending on where our lives are at. But that's a tentative plan, and I'd love to save up as much as I possibly can and open up a bar back home. I've always worked in the hospitality industry.
Two things. Mm. Two-pointed question. Because you guys are pretty firmly rooted in Los Angeles now, right? Like with Ashley's career.
Yeah, we're pretty rooted right now. So it obviously, like we said, is a tentative plan. We both want to head back east, especially when we are settling down, but start a family because we don't want to be so far away from our parents.
That's true. That's a good idea.
And so
have you guys talked to kids? I'm sure you've talked it, but what's the general hope for kids?
2020 to start, and then 2 or 3. I mean, this is knock on wood if everything goes according to plan. So that would be ideal. So we would have kids over here, or at least have one kid over here,
and then move east.
Potentially, it all depends on
2020. That's a year and a half away. That's 14 months away.
I know. Holy well, God. You know, Ashley's 30. She's gonna be 31 in March. I will be 30 here in a few days. So we're not getting any younger. We both know that this is something we want to move forward with. We love each other very much. We want to have kids together. So we want to get married first and enjoy that honeymoon phase, and then potentially maybe like mid 2020. Really
smart.
Start at it.
Did you always see yourself opening up a bar? Was that something that you wanted to do as a kid?
Yeah. So I ran a couple restaurants back home before I was on The Bachelorette, and I love the hospitality industry. I always worked it through college. I was bartending and serving, and then really just loved the hustle and bustle of it. And I learned how to run a restaurant, and so obviously didn't have the funds to really open up my own place. And so hopefully, you know, I'll try to save up and work as hard as I can over the next few years. Both Ashley and I will, and she's very supportive of it, and maybe potentially open up a bar back east. I just know I wouldn't want to open up a place over here in Los Angeles. I just know the clientele better in New England. I have more connections over there. I know more people. I kind of know what people like over there, so yeah. I feel like I'd have a better idea of what to create, and I know exactly what I want to do, so it's more of so of just trying to put that into reality.
I know you've put some thought into this, and I expect to be blown away by this answer.
What's the name?
Yes.
No, well, I have. I'm not saying it, obviously.
Come on.
It's very simplistic. I don't want anything crazy in the name. I don't want anything
Ashley. Bad.
It may start with an A. It is not Ashley. But it will be something that is a part of our family dynamic.
Mm.
It's a name that I
really... Amendola.
Amendola, yeah. So we're going to call it Brady's. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. Yeah. But... So it's a name in the family that when Ashley said it, it was kind of perfect. Hmm. So I think I would name it that.
Well, there you go. We'll be sure to be out there for the grand opening of it if and when it happens.
Stop that. I'll pay you guys. Don't worry.
Yeah. All right. Moving on to the next question from Sam Ross, who is a guy. We love the guy questions on here. And Sheree can, I think, weigh in on this first and probably best between all of us. So Sam asks, he would love to get some coverage on introverts and dating because we have a lot of extroverts, but the other side seems to be much less represented.
Yeah.
So how do you think dating is different for introverted people?
Well, introverts, by definition, get their energy by being alone.
Right.
Right. So if we're dating and, you know, going on the circuit, like dating several times a week, that can be hugely draining.
It's exhausting.
Yeah. And then I think to have small talk and conversation is also super draining. So just relating to anybody else is hard. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important to lead with that, because I think dating an introvert, you could probably take a lot of their quiet or their need for alone time personally and misunderstand and think they're not into me. You know?
Yeah, when I used to live with a buddy of mine who's much more of an extrovert than I was, I would go in my room a lot of times, just close the door and just like play video games, watch TV. And then I remember there was one time he was talking to a friend of mine and he was like, "Does Jared just not like me?"
Ah.
I was like, "No, it's not that at all. Just sometimes I like just kind of being in my zone. Yeah. You know, I don't want to always hang out in the living room, and because that it is draining. It feels like I have to be on sometimes, even with friends."
Yeah.
So I can relate to that.
Yeah, I've had to work on this in my partnership right now. I'm dating somebody that I love very much who wants to be with me all the time. All the time.
It's exhausting.
And I'm like, I'm trying to lay that down in a way that, you know, we design something together, mm-hmm. you know, where he knows that when I'm alone, it's not because I don't want to be with him, but it's how I fill up.
So I recently just started doing this with not just like people that I'm dating, but also friendships as well. As I'll set the, because I'm an introvert as well. I tend to recharge when I'm by myself in my room doing whatever, like just laying there, whatever. I've started saying, I like you. We're friends. I like hanging out with you, but I can only spend one day a week with you. And that's all you'll get, no matter what the week is.
Whoa,
and
it's not, even with someone that you're dating?
100%, yes. And I always say it's not a you thing. It's like, you're great. I like spending time with you. I enjoy being with you. But I just like need this time for myself.
Did you just pull the it's not you, it's me routine?
And that's 100% the case. And it, honestly, right, like it's been a good system.
If you're dating someone, you'll only see them once a week?
Yes.
Once a week?
Yes.
Why is and that so? And that fills you up enough to be like, you don't have the urge to see them more. And also, I get it. I'm an introvert extrovert where I need to I give so much of my energy out that I need to recharge my batteries. But if I'm really into someone, I'm like, oh my God, I want to see them tonight. I want to see them tomorrow.
Yeah, but
like,
then you fizzle out in 3 weeks because you're exhausted from spending so much time with them. It's like, if you see them once a week, it lets you focus on the conversations that you're having instead of just being around them, which they're both important, but it also kind of like lets you slow things down a little bit. And
right,
like we said that you maybe should be a little bit more of as patient, which I think can be good.
I feel like maybe you're not ready for something serious right now.
Well, that's 100% true as well.
Or you just haven't met the right person.
Yeah, I was going to ask that if you've ever wanted to be with somebody more often than the once a week.
Oh, 100%. Like in my past relationships, I'm like, I want to see you every single day. But then in two weeks after that, I'm like, well, mm-hmm. I'm going to create some space now. And if the space is created in the beginning, it like allows like a slow churn instead of like a dying star that explodes in on itself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I feel like that's also our younger self. When I was in my 20s, I would spend every waking second with a person that I liked. We would go to the same gym together, we'd do the same activities, and they became my friend, my boyfriend, my therapist, my everything, and it was way too much pressure on the relationship. Now I don't know, Cherie, give me your take on this. I think the older you get, the more set in your ways you are, you're happy with the way your house looks, you're happy with the way you put your pillows on the couch, and you're happy with how much time you have to yourself and allocate time to your friends and family and work. So for me, I find it's also becoming hard to allow, I guess, that extra space extra time that I have in my personal life to someone that I'm dating, because I don't have a lot of time off or time to myself.
Yeah.
So what kind of
It's important to design it. I mean, it's no joke. I think people fall into relationships and they don't ever talk about what they actually envision, what they really want from their time with that person and what would be ideal. You know, we just sort of adapt. I know for me as a woman, I know some guys who do this too. We lose ourselves in relationship pretty easily. So we just sort of contort to whatever the other person wants. And it's important to speak up and say, in my ideal world, you know, if I had it all my way, this is what our relationship would look like. This is what I've dreamt of. Like, you've been thinking about what this would look like, Vanessa, since you were a kid, you know? So what's ideal? And then knowing that that changes sometimes depending on what's going on in your life. So it's kind of got to be this fluid conversation that's ongoing around what you need.
Well, what if you don't know what you need? Then you just have to figure it out, I guess, as you go.
It's a moment by moment. You can wake up and say, you know what, today I'm checking in with myself and what I have on my plate, and it's going to be a day where I need space. But space is critical in the relationship.
Right.
I mean, it's something that as a man you need too. We need space just in our calendar. You know, they say like the definition of success is an empty calendar, you know, no commitments.
Sure.
I would say space and commitment are very important within a relationship. Obviously, that's a dumb statement because everybody knows that. But what I mean by that is, I think that yes, sometimes daily you wake up with different needs. Sometimes you need one thing and your partner doesn't know that, and you kind of got to work through that. I just think that's where the commitment issue, I think people need to stick with commitment more because they have to realize that.
Commit to commitment is what you're saying.
Exactly. Commit to commitment. Don't think that just because you wake up one day and you feel differently and you're like, oh, wow, is this the person for me after 2 years of dating? That doesn't necessarily mean they're not the person for you. I think doubts and hesitations are very normal to have in a relationship. Even I was reading an article today about Barack Obama and Michelle Obama, and they said, they were like, because they always look happy, right? And they were like, don't be mistaken.
marriage is hard. It's not easy. And so I think that's just something nice to reiterate, because I think space is very important, and the idea of giving partners space within the relationship, but it's also under the umbrella of a committed relationship.
Yeah, like I'm committed to knowing you and learning about you and being here for you and whatever that takes, not just sort of getting to a point where you think you've got it dialed, you know, and then everybody relaxes. Because I think that's where romance dies over time. Yep. It's this great vow that I heard at a wedding once, I promise to never know you. You know, like every day I wake up to, who are you today? Yesterday was a whole lifetime.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah.
You know? So I think it's really just being committed to having the conversations. Like my sweetheart is asking me every day, tell me something that you need that I don't know about, which is so huge, because every day I have to go like, oh man, it's the self-awareness you were talking about, Vanessa, you know, like getting to know yourself so well that you can say, holy cow, what do I need?
I'm going
to
say that.
Somebody who will ask for it.
I'm going to say that my vows and take full credit for it, by the way. I'm just standing up there. I promise to never know you. Where did you hear that? Oh, I just made it up. It just came up to my head.
Yeah. You can take
Sheree, I think it's also finding a partner who's like-minded and understands that dynamic of a relationship.
Yeah.
And has evolved into being able to want to be that person. So I think going back to some of these questions we had on Facebook, Bree, we answered that question, thoughts on time away from your partner. Can we move on to another question?
All right, before we continue with more questions, Dean and I want to talk a little bit something about, you guys all well know, Thrive Market. We've talked about it numerous times on the podcast.
I bleeping love Thrive. I'm censoring myself. That's how excited I get about Thrive.
He's very excited. As you guys know, Thrive Market is a revolutionary online marketplace on a mission to make healthy living easy and affordable for everyone. That includes you, Dean. You can shop for thousands of the best-selling non-GMO foods and natural products, always at 25 to 50% below traditional retail prices. My favorite is Justin's. I said that before. Justin's actually reached out to me and offered me some peanut butter cups, which was incredible. I love these ones. They're milk chocolate. They're organic. Well, I'm kind of I love chocolate, including the dark chocolate brownie ones. All these are organic. So even when I'm eating these brownies and Justin's, the Justin's peanut butter cups that I get from Thrive Market, I feel healthy because it says organic, and it is organic.
It's funny how it works in your head. It says organic, and you're like, I'm going to eat as many of these as I want because
and it's
they're
fine.
Good for me.
It's like eating an apple, really. You can get everything you need, like we talked about, non-GMO food. You can get snacks, vitamins, supplements, personal care products. They have the Thrive Organic Mustard.
So great.
Isn't it the worst when you go to the grocery store and you buy like everything you need for like either a hamburger or
and you forget
a hot dog,
the one thing?
And you forget.
I did the same thing.
You forget mustard.
I did
or
the
ketchup.
Same thing the other day. I made a pizza at home and I forgot to bring ranch back.
Yeah, you always forget the condiments.
It was pretty bad. Anyways, Thrive is so incredible, and what I love most about Thrive is this whole organic healthy movement that's been going on. So I just ordered some of my favorite products, like Dr. Bronner's organic lavender hand sanitizer. Not a big hand sanitizer guy, but the fact that it's organic makes me feel a little bit better about using it. I'm obviously not a big soap guy, but Mrs. Meyer's honeysuckle hand soap is making a comeback.
It's making a comeback. And Dean, you don't want to get sick for Thanksgiving, so you need these products.
That's part of it. But what I really like is just how they're organic, how they're natural, like you said earlier, non-GMO foods, the snacks, vitamins, supplements, personal care products, all that stuff.
So you talked about your favorite part. My favorite part of Thrive Market is the fact that I don't have to go to the grocery store anymore. Driving there, especially in Los Angeles, I always have to find parking because there's never a parking lot anymore. Always got to try to find parking or have to pay for it. So my favorite part is the fact that Thrive Market, not only you get to pick it online, but it's delivered right to your door.
We're just getting our whole life delivered to us nowadays. It's great.
It's fantastic.
It's the most convenient thing in the world.
It's difficult to meet someone when that's happening.
Maybe you'll meet the delivery person. Who
maybe
knows?
The delivery guy, yeah.
Anyways, keep in mind that Thrive Market's prices are already up to 50% off, and now they're giving you an extra 25% off your very first order plus a free 30-day trial. So head to thrivemarket.com/Dean. That's thrivemarket.com/Dean. I'm going to spell it for you. thrivemarket.com/DEAN. And get 25% off your first order plus a free 30-day trial. That's incredible. We're giving you basically your entire life for free, at least for the next 30 days, through Thrive Market and some of our other sponsors. So be sure to check them out. Now, Vanessa, would you like to tell us about your favorite luggage company?
Oh, I want to. Well, first of all, as you guys know, I travel a lot. Dean, you travel a lot too, but you probably have a backpack. I was in Toronto, got back, my suitcase busted. I was in Bali, got back, my other suitcase was busted. So then I discovered this company called Away Luggage. It's also the perfect time right now because the holidays are around the corner. And everyone kind of wants to get away for whatever reason. So Away Luggage is the perfect way to travel with their universal pieces. Everything Away Luggage makes is designed to solve real travel problems for real life and work. Right now, all I travel with is the aluminum edition carry-on suitcase. It has an unbreakable aluminum shell. I am a little, actually very clumsy when it comes to putting in my luggage in and out of my cars. And so this is great. So far, it's pretty durable. So it's awesome because we know how rough our luggages are being handled at the airport or if it's handled by me. It comes with a removable laundry bag. So when I get home, I just throw the laundry bag in the wash and I'm done. It saves me so much time when I'm trying to unpack at home, which is not always the funnest thing to do after a nice little getaway. And the best part, get this. This is the first time I actually have a luggage like this. It charges your cell phone. I don't know if you guys know that there are luggages now that have the cell phone charger. Yep. This is completely new to me.
It's fantastic. It's one of the best things ever.
Amazing. Yeah. So it has a portable charging battery built into the suitcase. You just plug your cord into the luggage and it charges it for you while you're at the airport, which is great because sometimes you're on smaller flights and they have no charger for your phone, especially if there's no TVs on the flight, then you want to watch stuff on your phone. So this is great. Every suitcase comes with a 100-day trial that gives any traveler getting away plenty of time to decide on the perfect size and color, which means you can gift with confidence because this holiday season, everyone wants to get away. So for $20 off a suitcase, visit away.com/dating. That's AwayTravel.com/dating and use promo code dating. That's dating during checkout. Again, that's $20 off a suitcase. Visit awaytravel.com/dating and use promo code dating during your checkout.
Love those away suitcases. They are incredible.
They are. Yep. I'm very happy. I have a durable suitcase right now.
All right. We're going to jump back into the questions. A few more right?
I wanted to ask one by, let me just scroll up here.
Here, while you're scrolling, I want to talk about one question real quick. We don't really have to discuss it too much, but Shannon Scardeccio says...
Oh, that's the one I wanted to talk about.
Perfect.
Oh,
perfect. Man. Perfect. So she says, I've been with my man for 4 years this coming January. We're currently saving to buy a home, but I'm still waiting for him to pop the question. We talk about getting married all the time. We basically have the wedding planned, but I have no ring. Should I be worried or just keep waiting? And the reason I double starred that question, Shannon, is because my brother and his girlfriend of 5 years, they've been dating each other for 5 years, boyfriend, girlfriend, just got engaged yesterday. And so that said...
Oh.
I don't think 4 years is too long. Granted, there are like a lot of long relationships that can tend to lead to nothing. But I do want to point out that my brother's relationship, love him to death, love his fiance to death now. They were dating boyfriend, girlfriend for 5 whole years and maybe even dating a little bit before that. So just because it's 4 years into it and you're not engaged yet doesn't mean it's impossible. That was my input on that.
I agree. But just to play devil's advocate.
Please play away.
What's he waiting for?
That's the question.
They've talked about wedding for so long. The only thing I can maybe assume is that he doesn't have enough, as much money as he wants saved up for the ring.
I would
assume
so, too.
Right.
It took my brother a while to save up for the ring.
Well, then
you
should be honest about it.
Damn, Vanessa.
But if they're talking about it, what?
Listen, especially if they're being open about, it seems like they're being open about talking about getting married and all that stuff. As a man, wouldn't I be like, listen... This is a situation?
No, as a man, you're more insecure. And you're like, I don't want her to know that I can't afford the ring that I want to give her.
And they're talking about marriage. If they're talking openly about marriage, I feel like he wants it. It's just a matter of time. Maybe he needs to get some other things in line in his life before he's willing to do that.
There's boxes he hasn't checked yet.
Yeah.
Didn't you have to have some things dialed, Jared, before you felt like you were ready to ask the question?
No, I just kind of flew into it. No, I agree. I think... I got lucky because I kind of went through those boxes. It's a long story.
Yeah.
But I knew when I proposed to Ashley that this is the person I want to spend the rest of my life with. Yeah. So I was just lucky. I think, honestly, though, do you think you need all your boxes checked off before you get engaged?
I don't think. But what I've learned about men so far, and it's hard to generalize an entire gender.
Well, it's easy to, but it's maybe not the best thing to.
It's not, right. It's not the best thing, but generally... There are some boxes that need to get checked for someone to feel ready. Hmm. I think that can be said for women as well.
I think it's for both genders. The reason I bring this up is because my cousin, great guy, he's in his late 30s now, single, good looking guy, has many girlfriends, but like a lot of the time when he was with a girl, he was in long relationships, but he never proposed or wanted to get married because he was like, I'm not ready. I'm not in a place. I'm not in a place. I'm not ready to get engaged. So he went on and did his own thing, blah, blah, blah. And now he's in up his 30s and like he's kind of looking back, and I was talking to him about this and he said, I'm not sure if I'm ever going to be ready. Mm-hmm. He's like, I think I was just kind of not making excuses, but I look back and I realized that maybe there was never going to be a point where I thought to myself, now I'm ready to get engaged.
Right.
Because I think he regrets some of those relationships and letting go of them because he thought, no, I'm not ready yet.
So how does
and it, they were.
So how does this pertain to Shannon, do you think? Do you think that her... Did he ever talk to his girlfriends about getting married, even though he never would be ready?
Like, it doesn't pertain to Shannon. And Shannon, I'm sorry about that. The only reason I brought it up was because you bring maybe he, this guy didn't have his boxes checked off. And my suggestion would be, Shannon, if that is the case for your man and he doesn't have his boxes checked off and that's why he's not proposing, then he just needs to get over that and realize there's never going to be a point in your life when you're like, now I'm ready.
How do we feel
about... I don't know.
How do we feel about gender reversal? The woman asking the man to marry her?
Well, that's the thing. I think that we have this issue because it's generally more often the man mm-hmm. who does the proposing. And I know plenty of women now who are starting to propose. And I think that it could be on Shannon if she's ready to say, I want this and put it on the table. Or there's a saying that I love, when you found the person that you're going to spend the rest of your life with, there's no more rush. And I wonder what Shannon... is in a hurry to have
the certainty. The label, it sounds like.
Right, the label.
I have a hard time digesting that, only because I feel like women are way more, I think they're more ready to fully commit than men. And so when the men reach that point of wanting to fully commit, that's when they take charge and get down on one knee.
But what's the difference between fully committing if your boyfriend, girlfriend versus fully committing if your husband, wife? What's the full commitment?
What
just
do you mean?
Just the rest of eternity?
Yeah. There's a huge, it's like buying a condo versus renting a condo. When you're renting it, you're not as invested. If you're buying it, you're going to fix the walls that you break. You're going to make sure the floors aren't, you're not going to wear your heels on wooden floors because you don't want them to scratch. You're going to be way more invested. So I don't suggest that Shannon goes out and proposes to her man. I think the biggest thing in relationships that we're lacking and we're maybe afraid of is just openly communicating what we're feeling.
Right.
Just say it.
You know, if I were Shannon, I'd want to ask the question, just ask.
What's up?
What's up? How are you feeling? And when do you see this happening?
And to Cherie's point, it's like, what's the rush?
Right.
Unless you're planning on having kids, I think kids are the one thing that bring you to like, be like, okay, now we need to get married mm-hmm. in terms of time constraints. Like, obviously, a lot of people like to get married and not wait and have kids and all that kind of stuff. But other than that, it's like, what's wrong with going through your rest of your life in like a very civil domestic partnership with the love of your life?
There's nothing wrong with it, but there is wrong with something in a relationship if one person wants to get married and the other person doesn't. Because that does create tension.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If the guy's like, no, I'm going to be with you for the rest of my life, but I don't ever want to get married. Mm. I think for the woman or whichever, you know, we're gender. If one person in the relationship says, I never want to get married, and the other person does, that causes tension. Because then my question would be for the person who doesn't want to get married, but wants to be with that person for the rest of their life. My question would be, why
not you want to get married?
Yeah.
Right.
I don't get it. You just don't want to sign something?
There are a lot of people who don't want to get married now who find just having this civil relationship enough. And I think that's perfect. It says Shannon's saying that they're both talking about getting married all the time. So it sounds like he does. Right. So I just think, it's an honest question. What's going on for you?
My sister and I had this conversation the other day. I don't know if I talked about this last week on the podcast, but she's married. She's been married for 3 years to her husband, who is a citizen of, I can't remember, some Central American country. So he wasn't a U.S. citizen. He was here on green card, and she loved him and was in a relationship with him for a couple years. And she's like, I married him because I wanted to give him citizenship to the country. If he was an American citizen, I would have just been his girlfriend for the rest of my life. Like, I'd had no real interest in getting married for the legality of it, but more so to grant him the citizenship. And so she contrary to how it typically is, she was the one that was open and wanted to just be in a relationship forever, but not necessarily put a label on it as in husband, wife.
Right.
And so I think it goes both ways. I think that's becoming more and more popular nowadays too. Is of just two people being in a relationship forever.
instead of getting married.
And,
especially if there are like no kids or anything coming into the equation.
Right, and you could wake up every morning and make it amazing and say, I choose you today. I choose you every day. It doesn't need to be that we legalize it to have something amazing.
Bring the government in.
But just, yeah, the two people, though, like you said, Jared, need to want the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the biggest thing. And Vanessa, I wanted to bounce off a point that you made earlier about you don't think a girl should propose because a guy needs to propose when he feels ready, because I feel like, and I agree with you, I feel like guys take a little bit longer to feel like they're ready to be in a committed relationship than women do. But I think my advice for guys would be that I'm not sure if you're ever going to truly feel ready. You kind of have to take a little bit of a leap of faith. And I think with guys and, you know, just everybody in general, complacency prevents progress. And I think especially when you're in kind of a long relationship, maybe like Shannon and her man, 4 years, there's like, well, what's the need to, like, why would I have to progress it? It's good. It's fine. We don't need to make it any better than it already is. Mm-hmm. And I think people react to it like a dramatic event happening in their life. And sometimes when you feel like you're about to lose something, that's what really causes you to act, because that's what kicks you into gear and kicks your ass into being ready in that moment. So I don't know. That's a hard thing to do. I'm not saying Shannon should, like, you know, say I'm going to break up with you, but I think, Shannon, it wouldn't be the worst idea to have a conversation with your guy and say, listen, this is what I want. What are your thoughts about it? Because this is what I need.
Yeah. And just share a vision. This is what I see. And this is how I see us together long term, and compare notes, because he just may have a different timeline. And that could be just enough to have Shannon feel good again.
But Shannon, I don't think you should be worried. I don't think there's any.
No reason to worry. Like I said,
saving to buy a home.
My brother and his girlfriend just got engaged after 5 years. It can happen.
Yeah.
Should we do like a rapid fire session?
Well, yeah. We need to get through these questions a little bit faster. But Dean, I want to ask you one from Raquel. She goes, Dean, Vanessa, and Vanessa, you can obviously answer this.
I like this question.
Yeah. What are your feelings on deleting pictures, comments, posts of your exes on your social media? Should you delete everything that includes your exes so your new significant other doesn't have to see them?
I'm not.
Can I go first?
Yes, go first.
Okay. I had this issue when I was younger. I would be a little bit, I guess I would say, insecure and territorial. And I would question the level of that person's ability to get over their ex if they still had pictures of them on social media, et cetera, et cetera. I still have pictures of Nick and I on social media. Cute. And I mean, you really have to scroll down to see our pictures. But it was a big part of my past. And I still very much respect him and the relationship that we had. So I don't feel the need to delete any of that. And I want to be able to invite the person that I will be dating into my life, and someone that is, I guess, emotionally, I don't like using this word after the show, but emotionally intelligent enough to understand that people do have past relationships and past lives, and people can completely get over their relationship and be on neutral terms with their ex-partner. So I think... I think it's a level of respect for the people that you've dated, but I can totally understand how some people can see it as a, oh my God, for sure they're still in love with their ex-boyfriend or their ex-girlfriend.
Yeah,
I
could see that as well. It's funny because actually I was randomly, I was like partnering with a brand maybe not too long ago, and they're like, all right, send us the highlights of your Instagram posts through the past year that have the most engagement, and like send us a screenshot of your top 15 posts.
That's what I just said too. I was like, Vanessa, you can't get rid of that. You got too much engagement. And on I those screenshot pictures.
It. 14 of the 15 pictures were with a girl that I was dating at the time, whether it was Christina, Rachel, Leslie. Gosh, that sounds so bad to say all of those names out loud. and it's obviously like, you're not going to not delete something for the sake of engagement, but it's like, it's just funny to see that those ones do well. And it's always like, especially depending on how the relationship ended, right? If it ended in bad blood, on bad terms, whatever it is, then maybe you could delete them. But I've never deleted, other than before going on the show, to spare my ex the publicity of being on my very public Instagram before going on the show. Like,
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's a good reason.
But other than that, I don't think I've ever deleted anything, except maybe in college. I broke up with a girlfriend and I took that breakup pretty hard and I deleted a lot of pictures.
I think for the most part it's fine. You don't have to delete. I'm with you guys.
Yeah.
All right, this is from Betsy, so maybe we should do a little bit more rapid fire. What is the dumbest reason someone broke up with you or you broke up with them? Or not necessarily dumb, but crazy.
Sure.
I don't know if I have a dumb breakup.
No dumb breakups. It's just consistently like, oh, I don't know if I want anything serious right now.
Yeah, I never like
broke dude, up just tell me you're not into me. Like, come on.
Yeah, I never broke up with somebody because like they're pinky toe is bigger than their big toe.
I'm trying to think of something random. I got broken up with because I don't use soap. I'm making that up, but that would be a funny.
I was about, that was a good story. Should have went with it.
I feel like I have a hard time answering that one because I can always find the good reason for everything. Yeah. You know, like
every reason is validated. Yeah. Justified.
I mean,
Ethan's got one for us.
I got one. This wasn't the main reason, but I was told a young lady broke up with me because I can't be with someone whose favorite restaurant is the Cheesecake Factory.
Wow.
It broke my heart because that is my favorite restaurant.
Cheesecake Factory is amazing.
Yeah.
Good. We sorted her out quickly.
God, I hope, I pray that she went on a date with some other dude, and the first date he took her to Cheesecake Factory. I wish that happened.
And she marries that man, and they go there on their honeymoon.
I know.
I will say, I've been open up about this before. Like, I used to not have very much money, and I've definitely been broken up with because I wasn't well enough, like rich enough, essentially. Like, I couldn't buy enough things, which is fine because if that's why you're going to break up with me, then I don't want to be with you in the first place.
Then you don't want to be with them.
But I've heard through other people, like third party sources, like, oh, this girl stopped talking to you because you didn't have enough money for her. It's like, okay, good. Like, bye. Good riddance.
I have a question on my Instagram.
Okay,
go.
How do you tell the difference between infatuation and love in a relationship?
Time.
Yeah. If you don't have to be around that person all the time, but you still appreciate that.
And I think if you're infatuated with them, if you're still dating them a year into the relationship, then that's probably love and not infatuation. You know, infatuation, I think, wears off quickly. So the more time you spend with them in terms of, you know, months or years, I think that is love, not infatuation.
That's why I think it's so important to build a friendship too before going into a relationship with someone, because then you know it's not infatuation, which you still want to have, but it's also that you really enjoy just being around them.
Yeah. And it's different levels. Infatuation is really more about taking from someone. You know, it's about being around them for yourself. When you're in love, it's about giving.
Yeah. Interesting. It's like, what can they do for you with infatuation?
Yeah. There's more of a, I want to take care of you and make you happy vibe.
That's why you're here, Sheree. You're freaking smart.
You're so intelligent.
I love
you. You're so positive.
This is an interesting one I wanted us to touch on because we don't have much of a voice from this side of things. What would you guys do if you were into the same sex and your mom knows them but has told you not to date them, but you love them? This is a very, there's a lot of moving parts in this one. And now you're secretly engaged while you're still living with your mom.
Holy crap.
Mackenzie is struggling because she just wants to be herself, but scared her mom will disown her like she had talked about before.
That makes me sad.
It makes me so sad. Well, congratulations. You're engaged.
Yeah.
Like, congratulations is in order.
Thank you for sharing that with us. It's
absolutely
hard. It's obviously hard for us to give advice on this stuff too, because it doesn't necessarily directly affect us.
Yeah, it's tough.
And so it's always easy to give like unbiased, unconsequential advice. But what do you guys think?
Well, what I would say is I'm not a fan of holding back in relationship or hiding in any way. And that includes your mom. You know, an honest, open-hearted relationship is what we're here to have with our parents and whoever we're with. So there's some fear that your mom has that we want to honor. And I think there's a, like, this is the theme of our podcast today, right? That having a brave conversation with mom to say, this is who I am, this is what I want.
Do you think that it's more respectful for her to tell her mom, or do you think it's more respectful to honor her feelings and not like freak her out by telling her?
Well,
honor whose feelings?
The mother's.
No, she's doing a disservice
by not telling her.
Yeah.
But to what Sheree just said, her mom would be like off put and freaked out if she found this out. And so don't you think you're kind of helping her by not?
Well, then,
why would you want to live in a lie for?
Yeah, it may come down to a shelter thing. Like, she needs this house. She needs to live with her mom. It could be a resources issue. But in that case, I think if mom can't accept Mackenzie for who she truly is, then, you know, this is one of those moments where you give mom love from afar. I think that's where you take your love and your sweetheart that you're going to live the rest of your life with.
Yeah.
And you continue to love mom and talk through it, but maybe not in the same house.
Yeah.
If she can't take that, because she said her mom threatened disowning her.
Right. Well, so Jared, then exercise for you. Say that you have a bit of knowledge about me that would absolutely crush me, but it's true to yourself. Would you tell me that and devastate me, or would you keep it to yourself and allow me to keep on living my life?
Well, I think that's different. I think that's a different question, though, because you're talking about Mackenzie, who's just truly being herself.
Right.
You know, and there's a different relationship between you and I and a mother and a daughter relationship.
I'm not living under your roof.
Who's living with you?
Well, you also didn't raise me, or I was not born from you, as far as I know. but I think with this, obviously, it's hard like Dean said, for us to give you any advice on this, because we can't imagine what you're going through. For me, I think you're scared that your mom will disown you. That doesn't necessarily mean that she will disown you. One of my good friends is gay, and I remember he was telling me the story about when he came out in high school and he thought his dad would hate him. And, you know, it was an adjustment period for his dad, but, you know, he loved him more than anything. He accepted him for who he was, and he never disowned him. But I remember him telling me the story, how freaked out he was that, like, yeah, his the same thing you're going through, Mackenzie, where he thought his dad was just going to never talk to him again. So it's a scary time, but if you...
Well, when parents say things like this, they're usually coming from a place of fear for their children.
But is her mom...
out of love.
The only thing is her mom's not saying it. She's nervous that her mom will say it.
I thought she had said that she had threatened it once before.
And now you're seeking...
She talked about it before, yeah, at the very
end. What you guys do if you're in the same sex and your mom knows them but has told you not to date them but you love them. Oh, so this might not even be...
It might just be the person that she's with.
It might be the person... Mm. So I think I was misinterpreting the question.
Right.
Oh, okay.
But listen, if we look at that too, and mom or dad, any one of our parents told us not to marry the person we wanted to marry.
Oh, it makes us want them more.
Mm-hmm.
You think?
That has happened. That's a little psychology 101 right there. Yeah,
you want what you can't have.
Yeah, we have free will and we want what we want and we want our parents to support us.
But don't you think there's like an urge within us to make our parents happy at the end of the day too? So it's like if we don't want to be in a relationship with someone that would make them unhappy.
It's so complicated because you want everybody to be happy with your decision.
But especially your parents.
If you found somebody that you loved, or Jared with Ashley, if somebody, you know, that you love, one of your parents told you you couldn't.
That
puts you in a real bind.
Oh, of course. I couldn't imagine. One of the things I've always said, and it's a very obvious thing, but the person I'm with, I want my family to love. Yeah. I want my family to want to hang out with them more than me.
Right.
So I couldn't imagine being in a relationship where my parents did not approve of that person. That's a really difficult position to be in.
The way to get around a conflict like this, though, is to know that there's always something that the two of them want that's the same. So mom and Mackenzie probably both want Mackenzie to be happy.
Right.
Mom and Mackenzie both want Mackenzie to be loved. So that's the ground to start at, Mackenzie, to talk to your mom about the fact that you both want the same thing and that maybe it's not with the right same person, but start that brave conversation.
Yeah. And maybe bring this other person into it.
Yeah. And what would it look like? Do you know, I think there's a question to mom. What do you need in order to feel better about this decision? Because the mom is probably thinking about her future and how hard it's going to be for her if this person, we don't know why.
Yeah.
Mom doesn't like that person.
Well, there we go. All right, we should do one more question and then sign off for the week. So we're going to go to Natalie Joseph. Sorry, I feel like I'm monopolizing all the questions over here. But Natalie asks, do any of you believe that in relationships, it's important for one person to love the other one more? Obviously, this is hard to define, but usually the one who will be less stubborn / go further than the other person. I totally feel this way about a lot of the successful marriages and relationships I've been exposed to. So what she's asking is, in relationships, it seems like there's always one person that likes the other more so than the other person. Do you think that that's necessary in successful relationships?
Vanessa, what are your thoughts about it? And then I'll go.
I feel naturally in relationships, kind of like our shoes, right? There's one foot that's always bigger than the other. So I feel like in relationships too, there's someone that's going to be a little bit more committed or into the relationship than someone else at one stage. But I do think that it alters depending on what stage the relationship is in. I know going into a relationship, I'm someone that's fully committed. And so at times I am someone that may be a little bit more into it than my partner. And I actually don't mind that. I actually like being in control, I guess, and being able to give. I'm a giver, so I like to be able to provide. If I'm providing emotion or love or communication to that person, I like doing that. I don't know if it's necessarily important to find someone that loves you more or loves more than the other person. I think in different stages, it'll come in waves. So I don't think I'm looking, like if I'm talking personally, I don't think I'm looking for someone that loves me more than I love them. I think I want to find an equal partnership. And of course, within that partnership, there's going to be moments where someone might be more committed than the other. But
it does.
I think it's important to have an even playing field.
It does kind of suck
in dating, how it always seems like the person with the most power is the person that cares the least. Have you ever noticed that?
Right. And I say, and I also say, as happy as the least happiest person, because when someone is miserable, it brings that, like, that level of love down, and you're like starting to re-question, you're starting to question where your relationship is at.
So do you think that's necessary to be in a relationship then? The, like, the push and pull, give and take, stop and go.
No, I think what we're seeing is a lot of relationships where one person is kind of taking the role as being the bigger person.
Yeah.
The one who's more willing to take the high road.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in an ideal relationship, you don't know who's leading or who's following. That dance is back and forth. On a day when I'm depleted and I'm tired, you know, hopefully my man picks up my slack and has got my back and understands. And on other days, he's going to spin out. I'm going to be there for him. And if we get stuck in one role or the other, that's a red flag.
Right.
I think we also have to remember that people show their love in different ways. So if you see a couple that's out and one person is more touchy or vocal about their feelings than the other, I don't think that necessarily correlates to one person loving the other person more. I think I can talk about this. Ashley's parents are the two most loving people you ever meet, and they're madly in love. But if you just saw them afar, you would say, oh my God, her dad is way more in love with her mom than she is back. But that's just not true. They just show their love differently. Like, he's far more outwardly about it and how much he loves and cares for her. And he knows that she loves him back, but it's just she shows it in a different way. So I think that's also something to remember when talking about this, you know?
I have a question before we end off, and this is a personal question, something that happened to me, and a couple of questions that have been sent to me today. Age, A-G-E. Do you think for men, age is a factor when dating women?
Yes.
And I will tell you a story. I'm gonna tell you a story. I bumped into someone at Jess and Cody's wedding in California, and he came up to me and he's like, "Oh, Vanessa, it's so good to see you. It's been such a long time." I'm like, "Yeah, you know, blah, blah." And then we're talking about, he's like, "Oh, I'm gonna stay in LA for a couple years." I'm like, "Oh, well, until when?" He's like, "Oh, 35. And I'm like, "Oh, how old are you now?" He's like, 27. I'm like, "Oh, dude, that's not a couple, that's a few years." He's like, "Why, how old are you?" I'm like, "I'm 31. He's like, "Wow, Vanessa, good for you. You look 25. I'm like, "Oh, thank you." And then he puts his hand on my shoulder and he's like, "Well, it's been nice catching up," and he just walks away.
I don't think age is super important, in my opinion.
I don't think it's super important, but it's absolutely a factor.
Why?
Okay, so if you met a 19-year-old right now that you're madly in love with, it would not matter that she's 19? You know, I mean,
if I was madly in love with her.
But I'm not saying that it would hold you back.
First of all, Jared, how did I meet this 19-year-old?
Instagram.
I'm not going to respond to a 19-year-old's Instagram Bumble? DM.
Okay, you're walking. She's underage at a bar, and you didn't know it.
No, the point that I'm making is that guy in Vanessa's case is just sucks. That guy just sucks. Basically, is what it is.
He's not for even me, part of the conversation.
I think we've talked about age to further extents in previous podcasts, but I feel like there's like a buffer. Like, you can go either 6 years up, 6 years down. But even that those are like loose terms. Like, I went on a date not too long ago with like a 37-year-old, and she was the most like energetic, expressive person I've met in a long, long time. I like literally thought that she was 24, and then she told me she just celebrated like her 37th birthday. I'm like, wow, that's crazy.
Wow, I love that.
In my opinion, it's not the most important thing in the world. And I think that we can all kind of agree on that too. Granted, it's like extreme lengths. Like,
of course, it's not the most important thing, nor should it be. But the idea that it doesn't matter when people are like, age doesn't matter, I can't get down with. I think it does matter to a certain extent. If you see a 75-year-old dating a 24-year-old, you're not going to look twice at that. That's just going to be like, oh, no, it doesn't matter. Let him be.
Owner of the Patriots date like a 26-year-old?
Well, Robert Kraft, the owner, has like a little bit younger girlfriend. Right, his wife passed away a few years ago. Tragic.
It's interesting to me what age equals. Like you said, energetic and expressive. Yeah. Usually people equate a younger age with more energy.
Right.
Right. And so it depends.
She just had a very youthful look about her. And I would never ask someone's age, but she just like said something along the lines of, "Oh, I just celebrated my 37th birthday." And I like stopped dead in my tracks. And I was like, "What? That's crazy to me." So Vanessa, like I said, I think it's just,
that's crazy to me.
That's crazy to me. I was blown away. And I've known this girl for a while too. Like, we've been friends for like a long time. And I guess I've just never inquired about her age. And it's like, you know someone for what, 6, 8, 7 months? And you're like, you have this one thought of how old you think they are. It turns out they're a decade.
You went on a date with this girl?
Yeah. It was purely platonic. Like, it was a friend date. But it was like one of those things where, like, we're friends. Should we go
on a
date?
Is she a part of Bachelor Nation?
No.
Okay.
Who? No.
No, I was just trying to narrow it down.
No, no, no. You don't know her. It's a...
No.
Huh?
I agree with you, Jared, that it's
Dean
a factor.
Done dating in the Bachelor world.
Yes,
yeah.
I am.
Unless it's a you, factor, Vanessa. But
I'll see you on Paradise next year.
I'll go on if you go, Dean.
Yeah.
Vanessa, it depends on where the age factors in on the list of requirements, right? If it's at the very top, along with looks, you know, then you're going to get a certain date.
That's so superficial, though.
Right.
I don't agree. If it's not at the top, so you're saying, Vanessa, that looks is not a part of your resume at all? So
no.
Looks has nothing.
No.
So, okay. So no. On a dating
Listen,
app.
Hold on. Wait. I'm into, it's weird, because if you
it's
put
okay
like
to say you care about how somebody
no,
looks.
No, listen, if you put a supermodel in front of me, I'll be like, yeah, he's cute, but I'm just not attracted to like guys with six packs and
I'm
like,
not saying you
really
have to be.
Care about their looks. No, but I'm saying like the guy that most people will find attractive, I'm like, next.
That's fine. You have a different attraction. Like,
right.
You
further
find
down on the list.
No, I'm not even talking about further down the list. What most people find attractive, you don't. But you still find things physically attractive, Vanessa. And that's quite all right. And that is a part
yes, but
of you.
That's not first. That's maybe secondary. Because first,
that's fine.
If you could make me laugh, then yes. Then I'll find you more attractive.
It's not my first either.
But of course there needs to be some. Right.
I'm not saying it should be. It's not my first, but the idea that like people are like, looks don't matter, age doesn't matter. I'm like, I don't believe you. I think you're lying. I think it's a factor. Mm-hmm. Even if it's a 5% factor, it's a part of finding the person you're going to spend the
yeah,
rest of your life with.
Yeah, but it's
with.
Not like the top five things. That's what I mean. Like for me, looks is not the first thing that I'm like, oh yeah, I find this guy attractive.
Looks are the first thing
I'll
I look
at. I'll find his personality attractive, then I'll be like, yep.
That's the way the apps are all set up to do.
Yeah, well, that's right? How you were going to go up to someone at a bar that you find physically attractive, you know? Yeah.
Exactly.
Same premise.
And like for me, physical attraction is not just looks, but it's an aroma. You know,
yes.
Like you are just like attracted to that person.
Smell.
Yeah.
But that's a connection.
Smell.
That's not. That's a connection.
Which
totally.
Do you think you can get that off in an app? Can you feel that aroma?
I'm not going to discourage people if they try.
Right.
I'm not sure if they can.
It's harder. Yeah.
But I'm not going to tell someone that they can't. You know, right. My sister met her husband on an online dating app.
Yep.
That's awesome.
It's you know, great. And so they're married. They actually just got married in September.
Awesome.
Very exciting. She's wonderful. He's wonderful. But so, you know, I'm not going to really say, is it easy? No, it's hard, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
If you do find that someone, it's worth it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we answered most of the questions. Obviously, we weren't able to get to all of them. I feel like we would answer a question and go off on some crazy tangent. And
so then great.
Hours later, we circle back.
All day.
We could do this all day.
We're very long-winded.
Maybe we should have a week where we record a podcast every day of the week because I feel like we could just freaking ramble on forever. Anyways, that'll do it for this week's episode. Before we go, though, I do want to give one quick shout out to the Pie Hole. I don't know if you guys have heard of the Pie Hole, but they have been introducing these small, round, two-bite pies, perfect for a quick snack and eating on the go in four flavors: caramel, apple, blueberry crumble, Mexican chocolate, and Nutella. Pie Hole makes the perfect host gift for holiday party dessert. The Pie Hole has restaurants in Hollywood, Venice, Long Beach, Pasadena, Orange County, and more. So if you're in LA, check them out. Stay up to date with the Pie Hole by following at the Pie Hole LA on social media. Thank you so much for the delicious pie today, Pie Hole. Big thank you to Cherie Healy. Got it right that time. Be sure to check her out because you have a website, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so plug the website real quick.
CherieHealy.com.
And Instagram?
Sure, the Luminaries.
The Luminaries on
the
Instagram.
Luminaries.
The Luminaries.
Be sure to check her out. Life coach / possibilitarian. What other labels? What other designations?
Wonderful. Amazing. Beautiful. Smart.
Intellectual.
Funny.
Loves her. Some I Suck at Dating podcast
love
team.
All of it. Love, love, love. Big thank you to our sponsors. The Grove Collaborative being one of them. Be sure to go to grove.co/Dean. Big thank you to Thrive Market. Be sure to go to thrivemarket.com/Dean for an extra 25% off your first order and 30-day free trial.
Big thank you to Away Luggage for $20 off a suitcase. You can visit awaytravel.com/dating and use promo code dating during checkout.
Big thank you to Amazon Fire TV. Be sure to go to amazon.com/isuckpodcast to order a Fire TV for your very own today. Great Christmas gift right there as well.
And a big thank you to Legacy Box. Go to legacybox.com/Dean and you save yourself 40% today.
Biggest thank you of all to everyone that submitted a question on the Facebook page, Instagram, email, whatever it might be. Again, don't forget to subscribe onto the Facebook Help I Suck at Dating group, because that's what we tend to check the most. I see Jared's pretty active in there too. That's basically the only reason I get on Facebook anymore.
Same.
Be sure to send your emails, questions. We love the drama stories. Actually, someone DM'd me the other day that said, you should take more emails because I need some more drama in my life. So if you got a dramatic dating story, please email us.
Spill that tea.
HelpISuckAtDating@iHeartMedia.com. Give us your juiciest dating story and we'll be sure to feature it next week on the podcast. I think actually next week it's going to be just Vanessa and I. And then we're going to take a week off for Thanksgiving and then we'll be back first thing at the end of the month. If you haven't already, follow the Help I Suck at Dating Instagram page and check out Sheree Healy all over the internet and making lives better one life at a time.
So good.
You're the best. Anyways, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Help I Suck at Dating. Be sure to tune in next week. Maybe we'll suck a little bit less.
Follow Help I Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.